hail roaring down and across the slab rectangles of concrete runway. My twin propeller plane is towed for repair. Flying to Orkney is never certain. I have heard tales of ghostly passengers haunting the departure hall of Aberdeen for days, waiting for winter weather to pass. I land on Orkney in torrential sleet, mountain summit wind blazing, whipping my car door near off its hinges, then pressurizing me into the metal cocoon. The supermarket shelves are laid waste. Locusts ahead of the storm have cleared two aisles, not even a carrot. For if the boat does not sail, then the shelves are not filled. Food and fuel rolling in and rolling off the ferry are barometers, piled high only by the will-o'-the-wisp of the sea, that most treacherous of waters, ridden with whirlpools, the Pentland collision between Atlantic and North Sea tides. The worldly rise and fall of food and fuel is visible here. Petrol and carrots register their weighty resistance to transport in the balance of empty shelves. You are connected to the weather here, connected to the supply chain, says a local librarian. There's a sense of the interconnectedness of things. Western consumerism is tempered, she says. For there is clear green water always in sight, between you and your wants, a ferry or two, between want and can have. We're at the end of the supply chain, says a startup director, renewable energy maker, his company reversing the bearing of supply and demand, north to down south, not south to up north. Food and fuel, weather and wind, people and property, their hard world, hard won relations are labelled and marked clearly in the high cost of electricity, in every boat carried kettle, pencil, bright summer dress, in the slow, barely megabyte broadband connection. But good view, says the marketing writer, a remote presence working from home. Sod the broadband, he jokes. The infrastructure of Western world living is laid bare and skin close. An insistent touch of telecoms and transport. The smell of energy on the wind. No urban sprawl to hide the passage of cable and coax. No dense population to excuse the economic accounts. No easy flat city to roll over the fibre. The National Grid cable, an electrical lifeline under the sea, over the hills and protected peat moorland, is the murmur of islanders, the talk on the ferries. A new cable is needed, capacity reached, but where should it flow? And many people speak, have a future they see. Tim worries for the archaeology, Keith for the view, Martin for the peak oil, and Annie for the folk. Those who live, work, and die here. Gary points to the problem of infrastructure centralisation, the UK's post-war electrical system for urbanisation. But Archipelago Orkney is decentral, distributed, urban distant, and so has the country's first local, self-determined power management system. And it seems as if the future, the one where people care for their networks, for infrastructure, supply and demand, that future has come early to Orkney. So this is not life in the past, not a honeydewed heritage, not Orkney in a jar of formaldehyde, says the archaeological curator. Not fossilised, says the start-up director of a potential wind turbine farm. We must be ancient and modern, he continues to call. It's a living landscape. We make a living here. From farming and producing, biogas, electricity, beef, cheddar and fudge. Producing and farming is a future's way of living, as Jove Agunst reminds me. A care for the next generation of cattle, community and crop. Some here cite a millennia of farming descent, generations of futurists farming for the future, since the Vikings go the tales, part myth, part gene. You belong to the land, and the land belongs to you, says a local archaeologist. Hefted is the word I hear. A people made land, a land made people, making the future. I don't need to say the future is heterogeneous and ontic. I ask you to imagine how you see the world in the future, calls a start-up director, farmer of wind, earth and time. He speaks, compelling the crowd and community. I believe hydrocarbons will be rare in everyday use. We are not the first place the government will send energy in energy-scarce times. He speaks of a storm-force future when the energy boat does not run. It is the sea which has contributed to self-sufficiency, says the island's council in its promotional brochure. The tempestuous seas are depths of invention, a storehouse of marine power, fish stock, and tales. So, floating in Orkney are world firsts in tidal and wave power, testing world feasibility in the wild waters. And the country's first community-owned wind turbine stands proud on its isle, joined now by others, more planned, futures too numerous to count, funded, owned, and contested by folk hereabout. Orkney is initiative at the edge, as a government fund names its remote far reaches. This is life at the edge of Western world living, sharp, in focus, cutting edge, cutting its own way. And it seems as if the future, the one where people care for their future, long, local, practical, self-sufficient, that future has come early to Orkney. But here is a tension in the viscous flow of oil. For energy poverty, hardship of fuel and electrical power is greater here than elsewhere in the country. And yet, on one island, burning orange strong in the wind, is the Flotter oil terminal flare. 10% of the UK's energy lands from the North Sea oil fields and is taken from there. The smell of energy is on the wind, in the atoms of the earth, in the uranium of the stone. Orkney is in every sense an energy island, says the Renewable Energy Forum. It's a land made people, people made land, made future. We aim as an island to be 100% renewable by 2012, says the start-up director of a biogas firm and son-in-law of the farmer and owner of the trial site for the fuel. You know all the board members, says potential wind farmer and father-in-law and husband of the company board. You see, it's all in the family, incestuous and relational. It's trust in the network. The community bond, says Michael Lang, ethnographer. A high-tech company director here names it transparency, integrity. You are beholden to every word spoken, for there are no casual encounters, no conversations with strangers, no hiding in a city of blank faces, blank words. What is said is remembered, repeated, returned. So it's quick to get a decision here, I'm told with a smile, for everyone knows everyone, for good and for gossip. And what's remembered is holding the door open as much as a global expertise. We include lepers but exclude arrogance, says the local ecologist. For there is no need to shout. Quiet. Resourceful. These are the terms the local high-tech director repeats, in comparison with MIT and the US West Coast. Right, let's get on with it, is the response to the need for new futures, says the island council solicitor. Farm and food waste becomes biogas, biofuel, the smell of chip fat on the car-carried wind. It's a land-made people, people-made land, getting on, making the future. Modest innovation, that's what I sense. Not entrepreneurship, a term that's disliked as too bigsy, too big for your boots, too self, not community-centred. And it seems as if the future, the one where people care to join hands, get on and make something new happen, that future has come early to Orkney. Hail falls on the wet mush of March snow and waterlogged grass. I stand at the centre, the fulcrum of Orkney, the Neolithic stone circles of Brodgar, Stenness. Sandstone mica glows soft with spring shadows. The grass, stone and sea is a circular world in green, grey and brown, the colour of tundra and fast-tracking storms. And on this horizon of 3,000 years of building and dwelling is a wind turbine farm, imagined, unnegotiated, unformed, heartfelt. This landscape is living, unfossilized, unfixed. In a community hall, the crowd gathers to debate, to hear three other wind turbines speak and be silenced. Some speak for the peat bog high on the hill. Some speak for the ravens. Some for the national grid. One for the skyline, the tourists and their trade. One for the shadows strobing her house. And all speak of their futures, so many conflicting. For the future is open, mutating, remaking. The turbines shifting, dissolving in quiet talks over farmhouse coffee and cake. These turbines are open, not just in material shape and design, but in ownership and presence, whole part of a land-made people, a people-made land. And it seems as if the future, the one where people remake their own future, make it mutable, fluid, that future has come early to Orkney. Gary demos the tools of a mutable trade, a virtual terrain program that models the moves, makes visible, malleable, commensurable the many voices and species that speak. I don't need to add that they are human and non-human. In viewsheds, acoustic impact zones, and statutory sites, archaeological monuments speak, birds speak, the Orkney vole and otter speak. One data set speaks for the hen harriers, from Jude watching and counting their flight. More data from watching speaks for the grass types beneath my virtual feet. Another for the wind strength, for the heather, houses and folk, for the laws of the landscape, the economics of business. It's all here, at the touch of a slider, a layer and a dial for any to turn up or turn down, tuning in to a future, working to resonate with the possible. These are songs of the future, scored on CD-ROM, voices composed into visuals, not for comparison, but for communication. Songs of the future scored into a virtual world, their data voices open to creative interpretation. A world designed to be altered, performed differently. This is high-tech industry at the edge of Western world living. Cutting edge. Cutting its own way. An early adapter, not early adopter. And it seems as if the future, the one where technology is designed to be open, personal, portable, adaptive, that future has come early to Orkney. Orkney is life at the edge of Western world living, sharp, hard, demanding. We are a place where technologies are trialled, a technological testbed, says a company director. testing telepresence, remote working, renewable energies, renewable pasts. And it seems as if the future, the one where innovation is at the edge, difficult, distributed, decentralized, that future has come early to Orkney.